As we move into the 8th chapter of 2 Samuel, we see some of the conquests and successes that David had in this part of his reign. David, having sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness by arranging and settling the affairs of this kingdom of Israel, by settling the ark as soon as he himself was well settled, we now learn of some of the triumphs of his office. Verse 1, "And after this it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Mechtha-Ammah out of the hand of the Philistines." Now these Philistines had been a thorn in the side of the Israelites for many, many years. Way back in the time of the Judges, in the days of Samson began to overcome these Philistines, but he did not successfully, completely subdue them. We see that Saul had many encounters with the Philistines, and Saul had some victories over them, but here again, Saul didn't completely subdue them. But now it seems at this point that David, although he's already had one good battle with them and was successful, he now seems to attack them. And he does it in such a nature that he is able to smite them and to subdue them. And David took Mechtha-Ammah out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, there is no actual place that is truly known as Mechtha-Ammah, although some of the translators say that this has to mean the city of Gath, because Gath was the chief city of the Philistines, and then it had many tributary cities around it. But the word Ammah means a hill, and we do read about this hill in 2 Samuel 2:24, and it is thought that the Philistines constantly kept a garrison on this hill of Ammah, and the word Megeth means a bridle or a curb, so that their presence there acted as a bridle or a curb to the children of Israel. And so what David did here then is take them at the very place that they held the most strength, at the place where they had their greatest amount of concentration of force that would be a threat to Israel, and then he captured that place. And it's actually the same then as capturing the city of Gath, which was the chief city of the Philistines. So we see here where David succeeded in accomplishing something that was long needed for this people of Israel, that is to subdue their old enemy and foe, the Philistines. Now in verse 2, "And he smote Moab and measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death, and with one full line to keep alive." So Moab was another nation that had been very aggravating to the children of Israel. They were actually related to the Israelites. They were cousins. They were the son of Lot. But nevertheless, David saw fit and had the need to subdue them. And as this is worded here, "He smote Moab and measured them with a line." Now, what this is saying is that he actually divided this country into three portions. And he measured them with a line, casting them down to the ground. It's as though he made them all lay on the ground. Then he measured the people and divided them into three portions. Whether this is truly literal or actually a figurative description is not that important. But he cast him down to the ground. Even with two lines measured he to put to death. So that two-thirds of the nation was measured out to be put to death. They were destroyed. But with one full line to keep alive. So that the other third, those measured with their last line, they were kept alive. So that David destroyed enough of the people that he then could keep a good tight rein on the remaining one-third. They were to be the servants of Israel. And that's what the next sentence says. "And so the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts." And we notice that when he describes the line that was to keep alive, he said it's one full line. That is, he didn't shorten that line. Those that were destined to live were allowed to live. He fully carried out that part of his desire and command so that that was a full line. This destruction of Moab by David seems to be a fulfillment of the prophecy given by Balaam in Numbers 24, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. So that prophecy given by Balaam seems to be fulfilled here with this action of David. We find that these Moabites were servants to Israel for a long time. However, whenever King Ahab died, they rebelled and were never brought under subjection again. In 2 Kings 3, we have an account of this. And Mesha, king of Moab, was a sheepmaster, and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. But it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So Moab was able to eventually break this yoke of bondage that was placed upon them by David. In the 60th Psalm, we have a writing about this time in David's reign, when he talks about the overcoming of the Moabites and the overcoming of the... In the 6th verse of Psalm 60, God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and met out the valley of Succoth. Now that's thought to be this time in which David destroyed 2/3 of the inhabitants of Moab. And again, in the 8th verse, he says, Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. So those writings by David at a later time gave reference to these works of his when he conquered these other nations. Now we have to bear in mind that much of what David did here was not some spur-of-the-moment decision to go fight with this nation and that nation, but these are fulfilling long-standing promises and prophecies given by God. It was God's will for this to happen. And so this is really a fulfillment of the righteousness and holiness of God, because these nations had so treated the people of God in such a way in times past that God placed a curse upon them. And it was God's will for them to have this to happen, because this was a part of the judgment of God, a part of the punishment of God, a part of the justice of God for this to happen. So it's not just a matter of David going out and deciding he's going to maraud and kill and destroy. It's a matter of a long-standing prophecy by God in which this nation has been condemned, and David is now the one who is able to fulfill that. These nations had gone for a long time unpunished for their wicked deeds. And so it is today. We have the powers of darkness. We have the powers of the devil that are rampant round about us. And our Savior Jesus Christ is to be victorious over them. He is to conquer them. And he has conquered many of these obstacles in the past, but yet there are many yet that have not been conquered, and there will come a day of reckoning. It may be the judgment day when the Lord comes, but it's going to be the righteous judgment of God that brings it about. And so let us remember that the promises and prophecies of God will be fulfilled, which will bring about the punishment of the wicked and also the reward of the righteous. We're going to close at that point. Until next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.